Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. Let's pay careful attention, because whose words are these? God. Pursue peace with all people, and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Okay, so if the Lord is training us as our Father with his discipline, like we heard in the verses 3 through 11, then we are commanded to participate in that, to be trained, strengthen our hands, etc., in verses 12 and 13. And then it gives us an explanation of what it means to strengthen our hands and feeble knees and make straight paths for our feet. It's not saying get a membership at the gym and work out every day. It's saying have that kind of devotion to these commands. Now, in verse 14, pursue peace with all people. So who gets to define what peace is?
God.
God does. So someone who has a perversion of marriage, and you know that they do, and they want you to bake and decorate a cake. They want you to celebrate their perversion with them. And you say, I love you too much to celebrate your perversion that would destroy you. And they say, you're not pursuing peace with me. Or other believers say, you know, you really should pursue peace with them if you want them to come believe in Jesus. You don't want to hurt their feelings like that or offend them. And say, no. It's the Lord who defines what pursuing peace with all people means. So if it's the Lord who defines what pursuing peace with all people means, then where can we find out some specific details of how to pursue peace with all people? Where is the law summarily comprehended?
In the Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments. And what is the sum of the Ten Commandments? Love your neighbor as yourself. That is a good summary. Or the fifth through tenth commandments, and the Ten Commandments are a good summary of what it means to pursue peace with all people. And the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Because it's not just people, but especially whom? With whom we want to be at peace, with whom we want to have a good relationship. Not just with people, but with whom?
Yeah.
Beatrice said it, right? And John, the Lord. And that reminds us of the very first commandment. Have no other gods before me. Doesn't say you can have a list of gods as long as none of them go before him. No, he's saying you are always before me. You are always in front of me. Yes, we should deal with one another well, but whomever else we are dealing with, we are always dealing with the Lord. You are always obeying him or disobeying him, serving him or serving yourself, delighting primarily in him or delighting primarily in someone else, depending upon trusting in him or trusting in yourself or something or someone else. And so he says, if you're going to see the Lord, then by the time you do, he will have made you holy. So don't just pursue peace with all people. Pursue holiness. Again, who gets to define what holiness is?
God.
Okay, so is holiness feeling holy?
No.
No.
Is holiness warm, tingly feelings about God?
No.
Or your figment of your imagination that is your definition of God in your mind?
No.
The kind of God about whom someone would say, well, I would never believe in a God who... And then they say something that the Bible says about the actual only God that there is. You say, oh, well, then you're a pagan. You're an unbeliever. Okay. So pursue peace and holiness. And how hard do we work at pursuing peace and holiness? Verse 15 begins, looking carefully. Diligent pursuit of peace with all men and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Why? Because the Lord never saves someone with a partial Christ. He doesn't save you with a Jesus who has earned the forgiveness of your sins, but then doesn't change your life. There's only one Lord Jesus, and there's only one true work of the Holy Spirit to bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Jesus is the one who doesn't just make you forgiven, he makes you holy. And that Spirit is the one who doesn't just bring you to faith. He brings you also to love and growing obedience and growing service to Christ. So that's the root of joy. That's the root of happiness. That's the root of blessedness. When you decide that you belong to the Lord, you can tell that the Holy Spirit has planted in you the root that is going to grow up into being perfectly happy and perfectly holy with the Lord forever. And there's a biblical principle. You reap what you sow. If you sow to your flesh, you will reap destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal life. If you sow to your flesh, you will reap destruction. What does sowing to the flesh mean? Sowing to the flesh means doing what you want, or even more, what you feel like doing in any given moment, instead of what God commands you to do. Okay? Like the fornicator, who for a few moments of what he or she thinks is going to be a whole lot of pleasure, a whole lot of physical enjoyment, and it's over quickly, and they don't enjoy it very much because they're not covenanted before God in front of witnesses as husband and wife. And so they're not delighting in what God has created in marriage. They're just delighting in some bodily functions and some temporary emotional connections. And it's like a firecracker or burning a strip of magnesium. It looks like it was really bright, or it looks like it was really, it sounds like it was really loud. So it's very impressive for about 1/100th of a second. And then that's it. And lives are ruined forever. Can never undo that damage. The Lord can redeem a person who does it, but the damage has been done. And just to show how stupid and foolish that is, the second example isn't the fornicator. Who's the second example? Esau comes in. He's tired. He's hungry. And he says, please, now the red, the red. And he trades all of the generations of his descendants' birthright. It's not just his birthright. He trades all of that in order to get fed a little bit quicker. In the moment, it seems very important that he's indulging his flesh, he's being a fool. And so that kind of living where instead of pursuing peace with all people and holiness while looking carefully, doing so diligently, when instead of that we live for ourselves, and we justify, we tell ourselves in our minds why we think it's okay to disobey God in order to do what we want to do. That's not planting a plant of blessedness. That is a root of bitterness. And you don't end up with holiness. You end up with uncleanness. You end up defiled. And if without holiness, no one will see the Lord, then a defiled person does not enjoy the blessedness of God forever. But they receive destruction from God forever. So, if our Father in heaven has given us Christ, for the joy set before him endured the cross, and he is working in our hearts and our lives, what we need to do is see what he is doing, be glad about what he is doing, and say, that's what I want to participate in. Don't want to serve myself. Don't want to grow a root of bitterness. I want to learn how to love him better. I want to learn how to love my neighbor better. I'm going to pay close attention to do that. Okay. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this part of your word. We thank you that you are working in us, that you have given Christ for us, that the work that you have started you will bring to completion. So, Lord, we pray that you would spare us and that you would not permit that any one of us at this table would be one of those who have deceived themselves, who think that they can just talk about you and your word every once in a while, and that that would somehow undo a life entirely lived according to our own desires and impulses, whatever we feel like doing in the moment. So spare us, we pray. And fill us with love to you who loved us first, so that we would live lives of obedience and service unto you. Do this for us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And your children here say,
Amen.
Amen.